Welcome to Geeks Corner. I'm Mr. Daps.
I'm Katie.
And we're so excited that you're here on this Wednesday night.
I know. Welcome to Wednesday.
Not Wednesday.
Forever, but
that seems weird.
Hi for now from Wednesday.
It feels weird.
It does.
I think it feels weird at least. It's been a crazy busy week. We're going to cover a lot of it, but not all of it because there's just too much to cover this week with everything that we did. That's okay though. Before we get into what's going on this week, we're going to talk about what's on Mr. Dapp's desk.
What's on Mr. Dapp's
desk? Yeah, we need a jingle or something. This week, I started a new book. It's called Grant. It's by Ron Chernow, which if you've read or seen the Alexander Hamilton musical or book, that's the guy that wrote it. Mm-hmm. And it's about the President Grant. And it's so far interesting because I've learned about his childhood, about him going to West Point, and about how Ulysses S. Grant was not actually his name. It's interesting.
Only Grant was part of his name.
Ulysses was part of his name. It just got moved around.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to hop into the week, and we're going to start it off with last Wednesday night when I was up at the Imagineering, seeing Lanny Smoot be inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame, which was very cool. And it involved me driving up in the afternoon. They had a reception first with a bunch of Imagineers and other honorees of the National Inventors Hall of Fame. We also had people that already were in the National Inventors Hall of Fame. So you had like a NASA scientist, and you had the guy that invented the Super Soaker, which honestly, we could have just had a whole conversation an evening about that. And I would have been curious how this, I think he was a physicist. Hmm. Like, you're a physicist, but you made a Super Soaker. I want to hear this story. I think it would have been a great night, but that's not why we're there. We're there to honor the two new inductees into the National Inventors Hall of Fame. One of them being Lanny Smoot. And he basically creates so many fun things. And I think he said he had like 156 patents or something. Like, it was some ridiculously high number. And
it's more patents than I have. For sure.
Me too. But it was fascinating to hear him talk. And even more interesting is, like, he talked his thank you speech, and then we had a press conference after, towards the end of the event. And the thing I walked away thinking is like, wow, this guy really has fun with everything he does. And he talks about why he does stuff at work is literally just because, like, oh, well, it's something I thought would be fun, so I did it because I liked it. And like, I think that's just such a great way to approach work and life is, you know, if you're not having fun, you're done kind of approach. And so that was super cool. And then even equally cool, we'll say, is after the ceremony, we got broken up into groups, and then we got taken over to Walt Disney Imagineering Research and Development. And you might have seen around the internet this last week, there have been a ton of articles about a holotile, and it's this floor that basically my thought watching the demonstration is, oh, this is the first step to the holodeck from Star Trek becoming real, because you can walk on it and it's kind of like a treadmill where it keeps you in place, but it's a bunch of these little like cylinders that you're walking on. I'm not entirely sure how they work. It looks like they spin maybe and they angle, or I don't know, but you can have multiple people doing it too. So like Katie could be walking this way and I could be walking this way, and it'll as we're walking normally, it'll move us around so we don't bump into each other. And then you can use inanimate objects on this as well. So like you could put a chair on it and move the chair where you want it in certain places, or you can move a box around, and they can even track like your movements so you can interact with other things or be in a virtual environment or make it look like you're using the Force, which was also pretty cool. Like a couple people got to actually go up and like use the Force on a box and move it around this holotile.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. And I don't know how they're going to use it in the future, but when they do, I know it will be awesome. And even if they don't use this specific technology, whatever it's leading to is really going to be fascinating. And so then from there, we went over like through this part of this building that's really quite sizable. And we ended up where the BD-1 droids were. And those are those three droids that were in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge a couple months ago. And we got to actually like get a demonstration of them, but it was an interactive demonstration. And so that included like talking with them. They didn't talk back, but they made noises and talked droid or whatever. And then like I got to scratch one of their heads, and then he was all happy and kind of like a dog when you scratch its head and he got all happy and whatever. And then like the Imagineer made one mad and his eyes turned red, and that was a little bit scary. And then he like shuddered and got rah, rah, and it was pretty funny. But and then the other thing that was really interesting with that part is at one point they're like, these droids are walking on two legs and they're balancing, and like we do that without thinking about it for the most part. And he's like, that's a really hard thing to program. And he also taught them, like, they also taught them how to move around and they can learn. And like they said at one point that they can do 12 days of learning in like 4 hours.
That's crazy.
That's a little bit creepy, actually, scary, but
That's really terrifying, actually, especially with
but they are remote controlled.
Something else that you had seen was, and this is what always scares me, whenever people like push down a robot.
Well, that's what I was getting to.
Yeah, and then the robot gets back up.
Well, it didn't fall. So that's what they led up to, is they said you have all of this learning and all of this work that it takes to balance these robots, and we can do this. And he pushes the back of the head of one, and it just stumbled forward, but it didn't fall over. Like, it could keep its balance. The other thing that was crazy is each of the droids had the personality, like their own personalities, that Imagineer could tell who the handler of the droid was, because they're so individualistic. And I thought that was kind of interesting too, and a little bit of a, like, almost kind of a glimpse towards the future. Like, if Star Wars was the future or something, it would make sense that the droid picks up the personalities of the person who built the droid. Mm-hmm. And so that was interesting as well. And it'll be fascinating to see where the technology goes, because they said that programming they're using on those droids could be used for basically any droid. Like, it could be used for two-legged droids, for four-legged droids. Like, the sky's the limit. Like, you could see it for animals. You could see it for Star Wars droids. Like, they just happen to use these droids. So but
what gets me, and it goes back to, like, have you seen the police canine robots?
Yeah.
When they push them over, I'm like, when the robot uprising comes, they will remember the faces of those that pushed them over.
That's very possible.
That scares
like
me.
Like, that could happen. Who knows? You know,
and I, for one, love robots. They're super cool.
Yay, AI. I mean, we're not talking about Tron 3 tonight, but
we say thank you to our Amazon thing. I don't want to say the name because it sets off other people's. We say thank you when we're done. We say please. We say thank you. So, robots, please spare us. Remember this face. I love you. You're pretty cool. That's it.
So, our next stop was to see Duke Weaselton, which we saw at the opening of Zootopia with Disney Experiences Chairman Josh D'Amaro. And this was that creature that...
which is so cool.
That, like, rolled out with the cart and then, like, got pulled up to the second level. And they demonstrated the whole thing, which was fascinating. And I thought it was very interesting that he actually does get pulled up by that rope. Like, and it's all like there's a lot of balancing and programming so that he would move his body and land in the right way and not step off the edge of the cart when he's on the second level and look normal. So that part was very interesting. And the whole tour was really incredible. And then we also got a demonstration of how they program and create basically any show now, like, but any. They focused on nighttime spectaculars, but you could use this program during the day for shows as well. And that was really interesting too. And so they gave us demonstrations of Harmonious, Luminous. I think Wondrous Journeys might've been in there. Mm-hmm. Momentous for sure. And then whatever the fifth anniversary show was, I'm spacing it right now, at Shanghai Disneyland. But like they gave a bunch of, and World of Color, a bunch of different demonstrations of that. And that's kind of, I think you got to see a little bit of that at the last D23 expo, but it's definitely continues to progress, and it looks and can do better than ever. And that was really fascinating to see as well. And then we had our press conference, and it was absolutely fantastic. And anytime you get to go to Walt Disney Imagineering, it's a really incredible thing.
Yeah.
And it'll be fun to see what comes in the future. And maybe as Disneyland forward continues to move forward, some of those things that are, you know, just dreams right now will become realities. And that would be fun. But another reality is that there is a dog asleep right next to us right there. And it turns out he really likes the rain. So for this week's IndyCam, enjoy a day with Indy in the rain.
So funny.
And he's like, oh, that's a puddle, let's go walk in it. Yeah, he has no qualms about the rain and absolutely loved it.
Well, and we texted my brother and my sister-in-law, because for those that are out of the loop, that is where Indiana came from, because they still have his mom and dad. So I was like, do either of those puppies like the rain? And also because he has 11 brothers and sisters, I was like, do any of them like the rain? Turns out his dad likes the rain, but doesn't like choose to go out and play in it. But he'll like his walks in the rain. And mom and his littlest sister don't really care for the rain too much. But I was like, he is like full force. Like,
he's happy to be out in it.
He loves it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny, because at first he was very confused. Like, I think it rained the first week or two that we got him. And he like walked outside and he was like, I'm confused. But now he's all for it.
Yep, that is true. We also this last week had an article go up on Daps Magic that was about a record that came from 1956 with the Disneyland band. And I'm going to give it a quick plug. You learn a lot about how Disneyland was back then by reading the liner notes for this record, which was absolutely fantastic. And the music's great too, which is not in the article, because that'd probably be illegal and I didn't find it streaming anywhere. But check that out. I think you'll enjoy it. And I, for one, found it fascinating that the Disneyland band in 1956 took requests.
Didn't you say they did that 20 years ago?
Some, but not like just,
but not, yeah,
like you could request a song you knew they knew, but it wasn't like advertised that, oh, we take requests at 5 o'clock.
That's
very different.
The way that set was this set is all requests.
Well, mostly.
And that's pretty funny. But yeah.
Yeah. It was a very interesting thing to see and get that kind of glimpse into it and see what a big deal Bessie Walker was, who was the first band director for the Disneyland band, and just learn a little bit about a different approach to Disney. Like, they went through Adventureland back then, the band did, like it performed there, and Frontierland. And so you see some nods that Disneyland band does today that's kind of a nod to the past that maybe had been lost along the way, and then there's other things that are completely different. And the one thing I would love, that I don't know when this happened exactly, but I would love to see the band on the chairs on the bow of the Mark Twain again, because yes, that just looks awesome. And I think that'd be so exciting and fitting. Like, I could imagine that. But all right, it is time for this week's Rexham Report. We're going to do this very quickly, so let's get into it. And it is time for this week's Wrexham Report. How did Wrexham do this week, Katie?
Unfortunately, they lost. It was 1-0, Newport County. They won. But you know what? Wrexham till we die. We still love our Red Dragons.
There you go.
That's this week's Wrexham Report.
Not so good. That's the thing with the Wrexham Report. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
That's just how sports go, baby.
You can't win them all. That's unfortunate. All right, let's move on into this closer part of the week, mainly yesterday. And the Lunar New Year celebration began at Disney California Adventure. And with it came new characters, returning entertainment, new food, and returning food as well, among other things, and merchandise, all that stuff. Let's start with Mei Li and Ming Li, because I think that's what everybody really wants to talk about. The duo, mother-daughter duo, I guess we could say, from Pixar's Turning Red made their first appearance, I think anywhere looking like that, in Disney California Adventure yesterday morning. And there was very soon quite the line for this pair. And we thankfully got to see them early because we were members of the press. Thank you, Disneyland, for having us. And I will say they were both very charming in their own ways, because mother is very prim and proper and you know, hands, whatever that was. And then daughter is very happy and spirited and excited about her panda power. And I thought it was a very fun addition that was completely different to most things we see at Disneyland, mm-hmm. just because of the personality differences. In some ways, they were more relatable than anything else. But also, there's a giant red panda tail. So, also not. But what'd you think?
They are incredible. So, I was fully expecting us to have, like, an 8-foot-tall panda walking around California Adventure.
You can still wish, maybe someday.
You know, I would love that. But I loved what we got so much more.
I think you got that from the parade for Pixar Fest.
To be completely honest,
because that is in the concept art for the parade.
Do you guys know how much Disney information is in my brain at literally all times? It's so much. So in my head, that's where I got. And then I was like, oh, I prefer when it is available. That Disney uses face characters, because you can actually interact and you can tell more of a story. And that, I think that's why Talking Mickey was so successful, is because guests got to interact and Mickey got to be really part of their vacation with those interactions. I will say they cast wonderfully and the costumes were incredible. Seeing Mei with her choker, seeing Ming with her Tamagotchi, which is not a Tamagotchi, but is a Tamagotchi that holds the panda power. The shoes, the tail, I don't think I can ever express how beautiful it is.
It was pretty cool.
And it was just a highlight of my day, because it's just happy. Like, you walk away from that interaction, you're like, that was fun.
It's got a very good energy to it.
And there's that balance. But it's fantastic. I cannot say enough great things. And I would love if they hung out all year round.
I think it would make a lot of sense for them to continue on if we're really having a Pixar Fest this year. Like, mm-hmm. you could do that. You could swap in some friends for town, whatever. People would love it. And maybe put them... I don't know where I would put them. I think they're actually in a pretty good place, but mm-hmm. I almost would make that half of the building look more like the other side of the street. Mm-hmm. Like, get that San Francisco look kind of a little bit more developed maybe there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was great. Or make it look like their
temple.
Or the other place. Didn't they have a shop or something in the movie? Or their house, like, make it look like something. I was maybe not their temple, because I think that Disney tends to not go there. But
yeah,
I think you can make it look like their house or something. I thought they had a shop or something. It's been a while since I've seen it. Mm-hmm. But I'm also going on like 5 hours of sleep. But that's okay. They also saw the return of Mulan's Lunar New Year procession, which this year they are celebrating the Year of the Dragon, which means it's all about Mushu,
which is the way Mushu
will not let you forget it. And we get to meet him yesterday. We get to see him in the procession. This is just a fun festival, mm-hmm. celebration, they call it. And I almost wish, I do wish it was longer, because we're not even getting into the food yet. But it is such a joyful, like, it's weird because Mickey's Happy Holidays is probably the most happy thing you're going to find anywhere.
Yeah.
But there's some different feel about Lunar New Year celebration that,
as a whole.
Yeah. And it is kind of that, like, Happy New Year's thing, I guess. But it's not to the, you know, making noise and yelling and all of that stuff. And it really is a different approach to happiness and joyfulness. And I really like it. And they have Mulan, Mushu, Mickey, Minnie, and Goofy, I think, all dressed up this year that you can meet. And then Chip and Dale were in the parade. And when I got to interview Esteban, they joined the interview or bombed it, whatever you want to call it.
They were chipmunks.
They were very fun.
They were beating the boys.
They were great. They were a highlight. But but no, it's really fun to see what they do. And I would love to see it expanded. And I actually would love to see it go to Epcot too. Mm-hmm. Like bump Festival of the Arts to summer or something. And like put, don't you think it'd be cool?
100%.
Like it's just crying for it. Like
it is.
And I feel like it would be something that, you know, even if it's the 1 month length that they do for here, that's basically what Festival of the Arts is. There's so much you could do there that would expand upon it. And especially with the new areas opening up.
I'm thinking of Japan and the Festival of the Holiday Storyteller, mm-hmm. and how easily a Lunar New Year celebration could lend itself to Epcot.
Yep.
And you would.
And China.
Yeah, exactly. But also World Showcase. It's a great year of the dragon, or World Showcase. Future World. Sorry, whatever. World Celebration. World Celebration, World Nature, World Discovery. Is it World Discovery?
I don't know what you're getting at.
Figment.
Oh, the dragon. Figment. Yes.
Where is he? Is that World Celebration, or is that where the seas is?
I think it's Celebration still, but I'm not sure.
Or World Nature?
I think he's Celebration. I don't know.
I
can't remember.
I am
doesn't matter.
I'm celebrating Figment.
Yes.
So anyway, it's Year of the Dragon. So I'm like,
and honestly, how Figment. Amazing would it be if you had Figment, if you had Elliot, if you had Mushu, if you had, I'm spacing Awkwafina's dragon name.
In Sisu.
Sisu. Like, there's quite Maleficent. Madame Mim.
Oh, okay.
Like, take all of the Disney dragons and make them meet and greets. It'd be hilarious.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Or make them plush. Like, it would be hilarious. People would eat this.
Oh
up.
My gosh. If there was like a yearly line of like a Year of the Rat.
Oh yeah. Do all of them instead of picking one. No, I love that idea. And then if you did it out here, sorry, Mulan, you get bumped from the float. And so does, was it Chip or Dale? I don't remember, but you put all of those dragons on the
That'd
float.
Be amazing.
I don't know if they'd fit, but it would be hilarious. And I love this idea. You can have it Disneyland. We'll sign away and you can have it free because we just want to see it happen. We're dedicated fans. But I think that'd be so fun.
I just think it'd be amazing at Epcot. And I would especially love, with the international outreach program that Epcot does, I would love to experience it that way as well.
Yep. So, we do have an entertainment guide up on the site, so you can check that out if you want to know when and where things are happening. And we've got videos from yesterday that are mostly up. We got a couple more to go, and we'll have more after this weekend because Vocal Soul, who you may remember from last year, only performs Fridays through Sundays throughout the Lunar New Year celebration, so you won't want to miss them either. And they are again at Sonoma Terrace at the exact same place they were last year, and it's basically the same setup from what I could tell. But that's not the only thing that was going on yesterday. Not only was it Lunar New Year celebration kickoff, but it was also the very first Disneyland After Dark Sweethearts Night, which began at 9 o'clock last night and ran till 1 o'clock. And it's the one of many that will be happening between now and February 14th. We did see just about every character. We didn't see
Kylo Ren
and his stormtroopers. And we didn't see We saw Judy Hopps. We didn't see
Nick Wilde.
Like, those were the only two we didn't see of all of the characters that were supposed to be out. So we will have a guide video up for that, hopefully in the next 12 hours or so, before everybody's going to the second Disneyland After Dark Sweethearts Night. This year they did some things different. I thought in general they did things a little bit better. Mm-hmm. They may not have been as fantastical in some ways, but I felt like it flowed better. It didn't feel as busy. The cavalcade I thought was a win. I don't know that I loved the Royal Ball as much as it was just too much. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't anything. I don't know that you could predict this is going to happen completely, other than if you have that many characters coming in on horse and carriages, you're going to have people follow. Like, mm-hmm. it kind of is the law of unintended consequences. And I just thought it was too packed. And I also really missed having, the Wesselton.
The band.
Yeah.
I cannot think of.
I'm forgetting the name of it at the moment. But they were fantastic. And there was something that live entertainment always, it's hard to beat that. And I think this year was more about entertainment, mm-hmm. whereas last year was more about experience in many regards. And it'll be interesting to see what they do next time if it happens again. But basically just became a wall of people for the Royal Ball. So it really wasn't something that you could experience as much as you just saw cameras and phones and a crushing crowd. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But on the flip side, they did have Indiana Jones and Marion, which were super cool. They had Big Al, always great. They had Rey and Chewbacca looking for the First Order and stormtroopers in Galaxy's Edge. And I had fun watching them for a little bit. And they had the space couple. They had a ton of Disney royalty. They had Mary Poppins and Bert in their street clothes. Mickey, Minnie, Donald Duck, Goofy, not Goofy, Daisy. who am I missing? Judy Hopps we saw. Mm-hmm. Woody and Bo Peep and Jesse were around. Flick and Atta.
Ariel, yeah. Eric.
Yeah, there was a ton. And my question for this is, if you are the powers that be, what is the rare Disney characters you would bring to, let's say in this case, Sweethearts Night?
Franny Robinson and Cornelius Robinson.
Oh, good.
But specifically, they have to be face characters. And it needs to be Franny in, like, that turtleneck with the skirt. Mm-hmm. She could have a frog.
Okay.
Cornelius has got to have the hair. Like,
that'd be fun. Yeah, I like it.
I want that. Like, listen, you had to know I was going to give a Meet the Robinsons answer, but that's...
No, I think that's a cute idea.
And what's yours?
I was trying to think out of the box. And, like, what are the ones that would be interesting? I mean, the natural one is Han and Leia.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's unique enough. And then you go further back in time a little bit and you start thinking, like, what about from 101 Dalmatians, the adults, the parents, like the dog owners?
Yes. I can't think of their names, but yes.
Like, I think they would be great. Yeah, I'm spacing them at the moment. I
can picture
have
them. I can't. Roger.
Yeah, Roger and
Anita.
Yeah, that is. Well done. Like, I think they could be really fun. Like, do some really random out of the box stuff.
I'm so proud of myself.
Yeah, that was
that
very well
guys.
Done.
Carl and Ellie.
Carl and Ellie would make a lot of sense. Robin Hood and Maid Marian. We have seen them before. So that one we know could happen. And that would be fun. But no, I think it'd be cool to, you know, kind of bring the peripheral. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some around that are couples that are fun and they're cute, and you could dig into the world of Pixar as well. Like, you could do Mr. and Mrs. Incredible without the rest of the family for once, or, you know, like, or Frozone and his wife that we never saw.
It's true.
Like, that could be, or did we end up seeing Mother and Father from Carousel? We did see them. What was that?
Throwback night.
That would be a great one as well.
Still a good one.
I totally agree. Yeah, I think there's plenty of possibilities for characters that could end up at these things. And I do think if they have a really obscure one at every one or a really rare one, that's just a huge win. Mm-hmm. Because there were people that were waiting in their Indiana Jones hats for Indiana Jones and Marion to come out. And then like taking selfies while they're up on the other deck or getting pictures of them. It was mm-hmm. really great. Welcome to Geeks Corner Plus, by the way, as we have gone into after time or overtime. So if you have any questions, comments, throw them in the chat there. We will be keeping our eyes open and we'll respond to them in the coming minutes. But no, I think that would be, you could do a lot of fun.
Oh gosh, that's a
Uncle Owen and Aunt.
Just the Disneyland Fire Department nearby.
Yeah, you know, play it safe. We haven't seen them before. We'll never see them. And we might actually see them again if things end up being made at the right time. You never know.
I'm trying to think of.
I mean, and we didn't even get into. There's all of the 20th century stuff.
Like, so, like, you want Homer and Marge?
That was where I was going. It's like, that is where, honestly, I think a Disneyland After Dark is where you introduce them in the parks.
Mm-hmm. That would be, I don't want to say off-putting, but.
I think they would have the most ridiculous line. And that was something that was really nice about last night, is there were no, like, I can remember the early, especially the Sweetheart's Night, like, people waiting for, Hercules and Meg.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Or like the lines were just so long for some of these characters.
Photo opportunities were like 3 or 4 hour waits, which was most of.
And that would be
Bob
where,
and Linda from Bob's Burgers.
Yeah. But that would be where I think the cavalcade and the royal ball was a good choice in that regard. And if they'd have done it slightly different for the royal ball part, like maybe put them up on the upper levels where the fairy godmother and Duke were, like, then everybody could see them and maybe that would have worked a little bit better, kind of like what they did during the first one after the pandemic. But it was nice that there weren't any super long lines, and like you could get the pictures you wanted to get without waiting forever. You can still have time to go on a ride. Like, I think the longest lines I saw the night were the food. Mm-hmm. They also had Herbie there, which was awesome. Oh, and you might have seen in our thumbnail. And that was super cool. And we were the first people to get photos with Herbie. So, you know, we won that race. Yeah, I did that.
He did.
But all in all, I was very impressed. And I think the Disneyland After Dark events continue to get better and better. And Disney Channel is next. And that will be fun to see how they do for that one.
I'm excited to go.
Oh, yeah. Which I'm assuming that's the same thing they had at D23.
Probably
last time, but we're starting to run out of time. Katie, what should people do?
Just go to daftsmagic.com, check out all the Disney and geek news as it happens, subscribe to our mailing list, find our Patreon. It's a good time.
Yes. And also make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We put up like a million videos in the last 24 hours Lunar New Year and the Disneyland After Dark Sweetheart's Night. We have a couple more coming. That one is a guide with all of the locations that the characters were, and the other one will be a fun review of food taken from a different perspective than most. How's that for a tease?
It's good.
But I hope to have both of those up by within 24 hours, I'm going to say. We'll see how ambitious and how successful I am, but that is my goal, so we will see how that goes. But that is all the time we have for you this week, so we will see you around the corner.
Bye.